This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is part two of today's interview with the herbal pharmacist, David Foreman. David Foreman started his career as a registered pharmacist, but because of his strong belief in natural medicine, he has dedicated his career to educating consumers on cutting-edge approaches to natural health and healing. And in this part two of today's discussion with David, we're going to talk about chronic pain. Now, the statistics are grim. Chronic pain hurts 1 in 5 Americans. And often, the treatment of chronic pain sort of reinforces the pain. Patients go on disability, take pain medications, undergo numerous back surgeries, get epidural injections, which many studies suggest are, at best, a temporary quick fix and don't help to break the cycle of chronic pain. So we're going to tackle this problem. So, you know, what's the deal here? How many people are in the United States are suffering from chronic pain? What's the toll on our national productivity?
This is scary stuff. And you know, you think of just, I like people to wrap their head around this number. There are more people suffering from chronic pain in the United States than cancer, heart disease, and diabetes combined. So wow. You think of those are probably, wouldn't you say, the three biggest diseases that we're facing, you know, heart disease being the number one killer, of course, but there are more people with chronic pain, 100 million people in the U.S., and the amount of money it costs, I don't mean to laugh, it's kind of scary, over $600 billion a year in combined between medical treatments and lost productivity, meaning, you know, you can't go to work or, you know, along those lines. So it's interesting because it's bigger than the three major diseases that we really do hear about a lot, and yet I rarely hear anything about it. I mean, it's again, this is sort of like our, you know, our first topic of superbugs. You know, this is a big deal, and no one's talking about it. So I always feel this is a huge blessing for me, and hopefully for everyone else, that this topic gets talked about, because there's an awful lot of unhappy, miserable people walking around because of chronic pain.
Indeed. Well, so, you know, what's the basis for many cases of chronic pain? What's actually going on in the body and in the brain?
Well, that's, you know, that's the Pandora's box right there. You just opened it. You know what chronic pain is to one person may be, you know, something different to another. You know, it can involve people with, you know, arthritis. And of course, there's, you know, 100 different types of arthritis out there. It could be back pain. It could be neck pain. It could be, you know, we were talking, you know, I was running a bunch of half marathons and full marathons, and I actually tore a ligament on my right knee just going out for a training run. And so I fell into this category of chronic pain because I had, you know, pain in my right knee for a time longer than you would think it would take for the condition to get better. I had a gentleman interview me about a week ago. Now, he had migraine headaches. He said he gets a migraine, you know, twice a week. Granted, you know, people hear chronic pain and they think, well, it's pain that I have every day, hour after hour, and it's not. I mean, chronic pain in this case for this guy is he knows he's going to have a migraine twice a week, and that's been going on since he was a kid. He's a 30-something year old guy right now. So chronic pain is, and you know, is a lot of different conditions, and And there's a lot of different possible causes to it. It just all depends on your situation.
What do you think? We have a missed opportunity in America because we so much rely on analgesic painkillers, opiates, narcotic drugs to deal with pain, or are there better natural solutions to pain syndromes?
I feel like there's a lot to be offered when it comes to natural medicine and chronic pain. And I mean, granted, I'm unaware of anything in natural medicine that's going to work as strong as an opiate. All right, so let's be real clear on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when I'm a cyclist and I broke my hip a few years ago, and there was nothing like some intravenous morphine. I said, turn it up, you know, because pain was excruciating. And it is, hey, that's a natural medicine, but it's a highly refined extract of the poppy plant. But mankind has utilized it and now abuses it regularly.
So my objective as a guy that came from pharmacy and now does the natural medicine, healthy lifestyle approach, my philosophy is, let's dig to the root of why you have chronic pain. You know, in your case, you broke your hip. That's in my case, I wrenched my knee and hyperextended and tore a ligament. So those things are physical damage. It's caused by physical trauma, and obviously those things need to be remedied. The guy with the migraines, migraines can be caused by so many different possible things. So my approach in natural medicine is this: it's to hopefully find some supplements or approaches that will address the root cause of your pain, and by doing that, hopefully then you won't have to rely on in your case, Ron, morphine was needed, okay? Yep. Get that, but my goal with you would have been to try to use things that really help the body fight inflammation, because whenever you have that break or a strain or whatever, you've got inflammation. And so, really going head on, to deal with the underlying inflammation. Because if I can cut back on the amount of inflamed areas, you're not going to get the pressure in the joint. And if you don't get the pressure, you're not going to have that nerve impulse going to the brain. So, for me, it really boils down to addressing the root cause of what might be going on with somebody. And again, I'd say in most of the conditions that people have with chronic pain, inflammation is probably one of the biggest areas. And the second biggest is probably some sort of muscular involvement. And I've got real simple things that I can suggest to people that will hopefully allow you to cut back on the use of narcotics or other, even over-the-counter pain relievers that are out there.
Well, so you're a pharmacist, and you've studied this. So what are what's the big problem? You go and get some Tylenol, or you get some ibuprofen, and that's how vast majority of Americans deal with their pain. Any downsides to that?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't mean to laugh, but I had a publisher come to me, and they said they would like me to write a booklet on the top 10 drugs your pharmacist wouldn't even take.
Right. Great book idea. Yeah.
I know, right? And so the number one, it's kind of funny because you brought up Tylenol, acetaminophen. So if you go to your, wherever to buy acetaminophen, Tylenol is the brand name that everybody's familiar with, but acetaminophen is the name of the drug, and that's number one on my list.
Wow.
Yeah, because all acetaminophen does in our topic today is it really just kind of masks the pain. And yet it has so many other downsides to it. So it's not really addressing why you're having your pain. It's basically masking it until that wears off. And again, most people have some sort of inflammatory condition. And so Tylenol is not addressing the inflammation whatsoever. It's just masking the pain. And of course, if people don't know it, it's probably one of the worst drugs you could take to negatively affect your liver. And you need your liver functioning optimally for so many different health reasons. I can't even begin to get into it right now.
I've heard it said that as little as 6 Tylenols taken in the space of 24 hours can, in sensitive or predisposed individuals, cause liver failure. It's scary.
Yeah, right. And that goes back to my pharmacy school days of they taught us in pharmacy school that 4 grams, which is basically 8 extra strength Tylenol, could possibly cause permanent liver damage.
Oof.
So
put you on the liver transplant list.
Yeah, and then just imagine if you're having a couple of cocktails or something along that line, alcohol negatively affects it. You've got a 2-for-1 special going on there. That it's not 1 + 1 = 2. You've probably got 1 + 1 = 5. Mm-hmm. And then ibuprofen, Aleve, so Advil, Aleve naproxen is the generic name for that. Those also have negative effects on liver, even more so negative effects on your kidneys, and they will just destroy your stomach if you take them long enough. They're horrible for your gastrointestinal tract. The benefit of those is that they do help fight inflammation. So in my opinion, they're definitely a step in the right direction getting away from acetaminophen. But for people with chronic pain, it's really not going to be a great solution because of the gastrointestinal effects that go along with it. So mm-hmm. I'm not, and I can do things naturally that I know work really well fighting inflammation without those lovely side effects that go along with the drugs we were just talking about.
So great. So why don't you enumerate some of those?
All right. So I have two favorites for fighting inflammation or, helping the body's natural process. First is a spice, very, very common in Indian food, turmeric. And actually there's a specific extract of it out there that's more concentrated of curcumin called Meriva, M-E-R-I-V-A.
Mm-hmm. Exactly the brand I use, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it? Okay, great. Yeah. I mean, it's, more soluble, better absorbed. But I got to tell you, so turmeric is great. And actually, I try to cook with it. One of my favorite philosophies is try to let your food be your medicine. So on days that we have it in the Foreman household as part of my cooking, then I don't supplement. But on the days that, and I'm not going to eat turmeric every day. I don't dig it every day. And then I'll take a supplement, something like Meriva. It helps high in antioxidants. Antioxidants can help fight inflammation and some of the conditions that would the free radicals that could cause more inflammation. And it's also just a good overall anti-inflammatory. The other one of my favorite supplements is it comes in two forms. You can take it in capsule form by mouth, or you can apply it topically in a cream, and it's called Celadrin. Mm-hmm. It's C-E-L-A. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, acetyl myristolate, which was, takes me back down memory lane a little bit because this made a big splash right around, the 90s and the beginning of the 2000s, and there were some good studies. And then, where's it gone? It sort of receded into obscurity.
It did. Yeah. You're right. It did.
But you think it's something that deserves a kind of a renaissance.
Yeah, oh, I do for sure. It helps with the hydration of the cell. So for people like me that are, maybe 45 and over, and, you're starting to get a little bit of that stiffness in your joints. It could be your hands, your knees. It's usually larger joints. I find it really helpful because it helps rehydrate that connective tissue, kind of give that sponginess back to it. So you're maybe not as stiff when you get up from a chair.
Hmm.
I love it as a good anti-inflammatory. It's been part of my healing program from the damage I had done to my knee. And then topically, it's one of my favorite things. I'm a big skeptic of anything topical, and mm-hmm. I am a walking testimony of how great this is. It works usually in 20 minutes. You can apply it to muscles, joints, whatever might be aching. It's one of my favorite things to recommend for people that you just did a physical activity you haven't done in years. Like, I started running again about a week and a half ago, and my muscles in my quads were sore. Mm-hmm. I applied Celadrin to my quads, and within, 20 minutes, the discomfort went away.
Oh, that's great. I think I'm going to field test that.
I'll tell you what, man. As I said, I'm a huge skeptic on topicals, and this is one of those that I know works. But for people with the topic of chronic pain, a lot of times they have trouble sleeping. And what I'm telling people with chronic pain to do is if, you have chronic pain maybe in your shoulders, your back, wherever it might be, apply Celadrin maybe 30 minutes before you go to bed. And it's not going to last you all night. It usually lasts for maybe 4 to 6 hours, but at least you can fall asleep. Maybe it'll decrease the pain enough that you lowered that pain threshold so that you are able to fall asleep and maybe get a good 4 to 6 hours. And I find it works great for me. especially after I like cycling now. I started doing more of that mm-hmm. instead of running.
That'll spare your knees. It's a little easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I transitioned into more cycling, a little less running, but I still love to run.
Yeah, but so soldering, you could use it both ways. I take it by mouth every day. And then those days where, you know, I did overdo it, or for people with chronic pain, you have days that are worse than others. Maybe on rainy days or colder days, you can apply Celadrin to kind of cut that discomfort a little bit more. Hmm. And then the last thing, and I'll go real quick, is magnesium.
Yeah.
Magnesium is one of my favorite muscle relaxers. How much to take depends on you. You can adjust the dosage. And if you're not digging the idea of maybe taking more capsules, one of my favorite ways to get Epsom salt is to use Epsom salt as my magnesium.
Absolutely. It really works. You know, you come in all sore and you just sit in a hot tub of Epsom salts for 20 minutes and it really makes a difference. It's hard for me to believe that it actually goes through the skin, but it apparently does.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because this is one of my favorite things, again, for chronic pain sufferers, is to draw a really warm bath, as warm as you can tolerate it. That'll open your pores up, and that hot water will relax your muscles to begin with. And then you get some of the absorption of magnesium, which is even more of a muscle relaxant. And this is another thing I recommend for people to do maybe 30 to 45 minutes before they go to bed, probably 45, because sometimes that you get blood circulating a little bit more because of the hot water, and you know, it might take you a little while to kind of calm back down. But warm Epsom salt bath is a great thing to do. For chronic pain people, I recommend it a couple times a day, especially for those people with fibromyalgia. They tend to be magnesium deficient anyway. I'm recommending they do a hot, you know, Epsom salt bath a couple times a day, and maybe even supplement on top of that.
You know, David, in my practice, we use intravenous magnesium, the so-called Myers cocktail, for many patients with fibromyalgia. And I think there's a doctor, David Katz, who we've interviewed here in this program, who's done a small study at his clinic up at Yale on fibromyalgia patients receiving infusions of magnesium and B vitamins, and the results were encouraging. So you know, that really does, I mean, when you take it intravenously, you get even more profound muscle relaxation. I can attest to that.
I have a question for you on that, if you don't mind.
Sure, please, yeah.
So I'm going to learn from you.
You're a radio host, so, you know, interview me for a minute.
Yeah, I'm turning the tide on you now. Do you, what kind of, like, milligram dose are you using when you do it an IV?
I might use anywhere, you know, 6 to 8 milligrams.
Okay. Yeah. And so you don't get.
Excuse me. Up to 600 or 800 milligrams.
Okay. Yeah. Do you still get the same? You know, I know that if people get too much magnesium, one of the benefits or harm for some people is that it can, you know, cause their bowels to become looser or even
whatever. You get none of that with the IV magnesium.
You do or don't.
But you do not. You do not.
Okay.
But here's the thing. You know, one of the effects, the side effects of very high dose magnesium is that you so profoundly relax the muscles that patients feel a little rubbery legged. They feel a little woozy. Sometimes they will drop their blood pressure. So, you know, actually, one of the things that they use intravenous magnesium for in medicine is for preeclampsia, which is this terrible condition which you can die from that occurs at the time of delivery. And so they give intravenous magnesium sulfate. And what are the instructions on the magnesium? Well, they tell you to administer the magnesium until the patellar reflex is abolished. You know, that when you tap the knee.
Yeah,
and you're
right.
So one of the signs that you probably need some more magnesium is if you tap the knee and your knee goes wham, you know, whammo. It's like very, very, you know.
That's cool.
Hyper excitable reflex. It's likely your borderline low magnesium. And when you give the intravenous magnesium, you tap and it just, you know, you get a very diminished or ultimately an absent reflex, which indicates that the muscles are very, very relaxed.
That's neat. I like the, I mean, I'm not always a big fan of, you know, IVs and stuff, but you know, there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah. Sometimes we get out the big guns.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, especially with people that are miserable. I actually did something to my between my shoulder blades about 2 months ago, mm-hmm. Just weightlifting, and I ended up doing what we're talking about. I ended up just amping my magnesium through the roof. I mean, granted, And I'm pretty regular anyway, so that's I don't need to have the benefit of magnesium like most people would.
For the laxative effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's go through that, because that is a downside for some people, is, you know, what form of magnesium delivers the most magnesium into your bloodstream, reduces muscle spasm and helps the nerves and relaxes you, but doesn't give you just a terrible diarrhea.
Well, you know, I was gonna say my favorite to use personally is actually magnesium citrate. Mm-hmm. Although that's the one that's going to use...
That's the most laxative, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one that's going to be more of a laxative. I'm not a fan of magnesium oxide whatsoever.
No. Not well absorbed.
Yeah, not well. Actually, to be honest with you, because I'm so familiar with recommending it, I always go with mag citrate just because... Mm-hmm. I know how to. I mean, you know how it is when you're a physician. You know,
right.
you know the drugs and things that you've worked with. There might be thousands of other ones out there, but your experience and knowledge and comfort level. So
I think if I recommended magnesium citrate if I recommended magnesium citrate to all my patients, I would have been run out of town long ago. Because
I'm sure
you're unusual in that you have a high tolerance for it. It actually helps some of my patients. I give them that. Just for the constipation alone, because it reliably will relieve constipation take, four, six, or up to eight a day. Some patients require that amount. And there's really not that much danger of overdosing on magnesium with magnesium citrate, because what you don't absorb comes out. And you know it.
Exactly.
Right.
Maybe I'm just masochistic. I don't know.
Well, you know, then you know, those long bike rides and long runs. I don't know about that. But so anyway, so I'll share with you that I use a product called Jigsaw Magnesium.
Okay.
And for patients with anxiety, I actually use magnesium 3-8, which is a little more expensive, but it supposedly crosses the blood-brain barrier. And magnesium is very helpful for anxiety as well. But, you know, anxiety and depression are part and parcel of chronic pain. I mean, show me a patient with chronic pain, and I'll show you an anxious, depressed person.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with that whole
complex. They say that the people with chronic pain have the worst quality of life of any health challenge from what I've read. So... And it's because of what you just said. They have anxiety, depression. There's just so many things going on with them. And I hate to say them, but, poor appetite.
Unfortunately, you don't count yourself among them.
Not anymore. I'm healed, man.
It's the Celadrin.
Okay, yeah, great. Yeah, I'm telling you, you got to give it a shot.
Yeah, acetylmyristolator, CMO, because it might be available in certain supplements, not under that brand name, if I'm not mistaken. But so finally, we have to talk about omega-3, because they may play a role in chronic pain. What do they do?
Well, yeah, it's funny because, you know, I think a lot of people are familiar with omega-3s. You know, they probably have heard they're called essential fatty acids. Some people even talk about omega-6s. Omega-6s actually will contribute to perhaps causing more inflammation, where omega-3s actually will block or halt the pathway that leads to inflammation. So, and that's another, it's funny because that's another really critical part of my program for my health and my, anything I could do to cut down on inflammation in my body. So I'm a big, I take a fish oil supplement, and then I also consume chia seeds on a daily basis. Because there's different omega-3s found in the plant world versus from fish. So, I take an EPA, DHA fish oil product, and then I use chia seeds, probably at least a tablespoon every day to get my omega-3s. But great way to help the body fight inflammation. And inflammation is not just limited to your muscles and your joints, everybody. Inflammation is a root cause of why people develop plaque in their arteries. And so whatever you can do to help fight inflammation, or at least keep it at bay, antioxidants, omega-3s, and the other things we talked about will go a long way.
Well, that's great stuff. So what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action on both subjects, part one and part two? Part one was about conquering superbugs and how to naturally support your immunity. And part two, we've just completed, has to do with chronic pain. What resources can we point our listeners towards? You've got a website, which is theherbalpharmacist.com.
It's herbalpharmacist.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep going.
Yeah.
I keep adding the.
That's okay. That's fine. But yeah, herbalpharmacist.com, and you can. I have a blog there. They can connect to my Facebook and Twitter. And or they can just email me questions. It doesn't even have to be about the topics we talked about today. If they just want a little extra guidance, I love to steer people in the right direction. My passion and mission is just to help people achieve the lifestyle and health that they're looking for, or if you already have it, maintain it. So just go to my website would be the best way to reach out.
We're absolutely kindred spirits on that mission statement. And we might add also that you're an inveterate exerciser, and that while exercise can sometimes cause pain, to wit my hip fracture, your torn knee, overall, even relatively high-intensity exercise helps keep arthritis at bay. Even in sufferers of arthritis, generally exercise is beneficial.
Yeah, it's you get that endorphin release, you know, which is basically your body's narcotics. I like to call it that way. Getting exercise, and if people do have a health challenge that maybe precludes them from a particular activity, they can consult with their physician, maybe get referred to an exercise physiologist or a physical therapist that can give them the type of exercises that they can do. But exercise is critical for people with chronic pain. People think it's counterproductive, but if anything, it actually will decrease pain. And then I'm a spiritual guy, Ron, and I'm a huge fan of prayer. Some people don't like the word prayer. They get freaked out about religion. So you can call it meditation if you want, but lots of studies about using prayer and meditation to help with those people that have chronic pain and get some relief. And that's another part of my daily, I hate to say ritual, but routine, we'll call it. How about that?
Well, it's a ritual.
I know. But it's that freaks people out, though.
Frankincense and, right. Choirs and Gregorian chants sometimes part and parcel of that. All right. Great stuff. Thank you very much, David Foreman. Once again, the website, herbalpharmacist.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.